Everybody, welcome to another episode of the PWCS Wrestling Podcast, a new podcast, a new episode. I kind of teased out last time I found some found footage and we released that, and that was the last you've heard of us. But I'm excited to say that we are back on a semi-regular basis. I don't know what semi-regular means. I'm going to leave it just vague enough that I don't have to commit. That is the key. But Dan and I were really excited to sit down. And of course, the reason that we are doing this podcast, the reason we are kind of revigorated with PWCS content, is that we just launched on IWTV.live today. So you can use the promo code PWCS or STL Anarchy. But for some reason, that's much harder for me to remember. And therefore, I may have to promote the PWCS one. But it's a really big deal for us. We go into, I said to Dan, hey, maybe we get together, we do a podcast to kind of celebrate, and we just do like 15, 20 minutes, and we talk about why it's important that we're on IWTV and how our, we had kind of a near miss with them in the past. And that turned into about an hour and 15 minutes, probably number one, because I haven't seen Dan in quite some time because we are living the quarantine life, but also because this is a passion project for all of us, and you get to talking about it and we get to rambling and telling stories. And next thing you know, an hour goes by. We love PWCS. We were so excited to be able to bring that to you for 6 years, and you're going to hear it in our voice. And we talk about it. We still have the passion for it. We still have a passion for the content, and I'm so, so happy that it's out there. So I say it in the episode, but a huge thank you to all the people that were involved in getting us on IWTV.live. So guys like Jay Rose, Dylan Hales, and even just by sending a very innocuous tweet, a somewhat benign tweet, Jason Klein. So we tell all those stories in here. And so let's just get to it. Let's get down to the audio, guys. Thank you for joining us again. If you're still subscribed or you stumbled upon this by for whatever means, I do appreciate you listening. And we will talk to you again at the end of the episode.
Click the button, see if it is.
Click the button, see if it records.
It is recording.
Oh, it's a steady light. It's not a beeping light, as I
it's
said earlier.
It's not beeping now that we're recording?
No, the light's not beeping.
Your
it's been steady.
Your lines, we haven't recorded in quite some time.
Quiet?
Make me feel inferior. Because as I watch, I'm like, oh, it must be like really low. Like, maybe the microphone needs to be adjusted or something, and then you just talk normally, and it, like, fucking explodes. Like,
I don't mean to make you shameful or anything. I have been told, even at a very young age, that I have a natural speaking voice.
It makes me feel like I'm a little mealy-mouthed motherfucker or something.
My voice just naturally carries, which is one of the reasons I kind of thought before that I wanted to do actual, like, wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things I actually wanted to do was kind of ring announcing. Mm. But, you know, I'm also very afraid of groups of people, you know, so.
You could have been a off-camera ring announcer.
Yeah, yeah.
It was something that was proposed that I would have to do many times in my early career.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was going to say, that almost came up, too, when we did one of the shows and we had the pre-party thing where you were doing the interview with Casey and, you know, those guys
were the live podcast.
Yeah, where you're doing the live podcast, and it came up a little bit of like, you know, hey, if you want, you can do an introduction from the back. And I don't know. I had all of my nerves. I was shaking a whole bunch. I was like, yeah, I don't know if this is worth it.
Yeah, I remember, because I did want you to be. I want you to feel a part of it, because I mean, like, you know, shout out to Chris, but he wasn't the. Much to Jackson's surprise, he is not the host of the podcast.
No,
if anybody was going to lead us out, you should have let us out.
But, yeah, probably.
I did understand the situation as well, so I did not force that issue.
Yeah. Hindsight being 2020, you know, yeah.
It feels good to watch my tiny blue lines move again, though. It's It's good to do it. We do have notes on the next one in the series. So
yes, the proper PWCS timeline.
Yes, yeah, in the proper timeline.
But if you're following along from episode to episode, this won't continue the episode necessarily.
You've just been waiting with fucking bated breath for the last like year and a half.
And if you have, thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you, Jason Klein.
You are wonderful.
But and Evangelistico, who also might be our biggest fan.
Shout out
to him and Klein.
Big ups, love you too, Evan.
But I don't think we should do that show. I think we should celebrate our latest year too late conquest.
Yes, yes, finally getting on IWTV, independentwrestling.tv. What an accomplishment.
It actually, like, it really is, it does mean a lot to me because, I mean, we all worked so hard on the videos.
Very hard.
On the content of it. And at first, that was, like, this big strong suit for us, was being on YouTube and the way Jason produced the DVDs and just, like, we did a little extra compared to what everybody else was doing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot extra, honestly.
There's a ton of production value, quite frankly. You look at a lot of the stuff that's out there right now, and realistically, Jason did like national television type of editing to a lot of those DVDs.
I was watching stage one today of 2014 before, uh-huh. While I was just eating dinner. Before I went back to work and all that stuff, because that's all I do now.
Were you watching it on IWTV too?
Yes, I was. Hell yeah, yeah, bro. I was getting that fucking 30 cents. I was paying $9 a month to get that 30 cents an hour. I think I'm just gonna loop that shit at my house. Just fucking don't tell Dylan Hales, but I'm just gonna loop that motherfucker.
Of course.
On all my TVs. I'm going to pay $9 a piece for an account for each of my TV. I know that math won't work out, but I was not a math major, so.
But you were watching stage one at your house?
Yeah, and I felt like, I was like, man, this is produced like it was live. Mm-hmm. Like it was, you know, those early, that first season, Jason produced it almost like it was alive. You know, like he did those cuts away to like of the arch, or like he had me get some footage of just downtown Granite and stuff.
Oh yeah, B-roll stuff.
Yeah, he would like cut away to B-roll and Drew Sono Jr. would talk over it and stuff, and I don't know, just felt like, oh, like I, this could have been a stream that was captured.
Yeah,
you know?
They also had those the live scoreboard updates every once in a while, yeah. Like at halves and whatnot. Yeah, yeah, man, if they. It really did feel like a live sporting event was actually taking place. It really did.
And so, I mean, I think we were sort of made to be viewed on a service like this. Mm-hmm. You know, like that was when Dylan was talking about what he was going to put up. He was like, I don't want to put it all up at once because then you don't have anything else to release down the road, you know, to get people, you know, if people like this and they want to see more, then there's nothing to release until you get us the unreleased content, you know?
Mm.
And so I was like, well... So he said he wanted to do originally just one season,
yeah.
But then he said it's best to release like 6 to 8 if there's enough in the pipeline. So he released the first two seasons today at like noon, and it's just cool because you could binge and follow that story all the way through the seasons.
Yeah.
It's a huge accomplishment, and I think it's just a huge thing for the whole team that put their heart and soul and work into it. I mean, you know, Jason at first, and then you, of hours of editing and stuff to sell five or six DVDs because the market just stopped. That was no longer what the market was.
Right.
You know, once these streaming services became live, that was the only way to view your you know, the people did not want to buy DVDs, and the few that did, I mean, they're already there. They're your diehard people. If they're one of the 10 people a month that are buying your DVD,
right? Yeah,
then it's already, you know, it's already there. You already have them. You know, they're already. It's not something like this that can get new fans. You know, there might be somebody that logs in to IWTV today and goes, "What is this thing?"
They're just sorting by new, which is the thing that I love to do with stuff. Just sort by new.
Yeah.
See what kind of promotion happens to be out there. It might be what did I watch one time? Something like Chainsaw Bob's Wrestling or something. Man, I've logged on to IWTV and I've watched some really, we'll go interesting stuff. Some really interesting stuff. But a person like that absolutely can log on for the first time. They load up something. They see a brand new promotion. They see that spiffy logo. I probably shouldn't use spiffy anymore. They see that nice looking professional logo that Jason did and everything that we promoted the crap out of. And they're like, huh, I wonder what this PWCS thing is. And they get to experience a brand new thing.
Or even, you know, the old theory that we've talked about on these previous podcasts before. They see Cole Cabana's face. They see ACH's face. They, you know, they see something like that on there. And so they go and they watch that show.
Yeah.
And then hopefully they realize, like, oh, okay, they get what the concept is. And they want to go back to the first one and watch all the way through.
Yeah,
and
yeah, they could do a search for Colt Cabana, and then they could end up watching him versus Dan Walsh.
Yeah,
and they'd be like, "Oh wow, this Dan Walsh guy, he's really good. You know what? He's a very entertaining person." And what are they talking about with this Ego Busters? Yeah. What does that mean? Maybe I'll watch a few more episodes.
That guy talking to himself in his living room. I appreciate your 30 cents an hour, guy. But yeah, I think it was made to be viewed like this. It was, and it's just at this point, I mean, now we've been closed down for almost a year. Uh-huh. Our last show was the 19th of last year, of 2019, in case somebody's listening to this in the future, when we came back and we're making fucking millions of dollars and rocking it in 2035 or
hell
something.
Yeah, put that into the ether.
But, you know, if it... So I think but right now, you know, it's just for a solid year or more, I mean, it's just been sitting. You know, it's been on Smart Mark, but no one's searching us out to buy. I think even I think that's why Smart Mark and IWTV are partners now, because unless you're a big-time company, you know, like an AIW or a Game Changer or something like that, I don't think people are going out to... Why would they spend $10 on a PWCS show that they maybe stumble upon on Smart Mark,
yeah,
when they can pay $10 to be on IWTV Live and see everything, you know?
Yeah, anything they want.
So...
By large.
It's been a long time since we've had any movement on even the video on demand that's out there. And so this is cool to get it into some new faces and to see the reaction of people online already.
Yeah.
That has been really cool because it's just... You get into those funks where you're like, all right, that was cool, and we did it, but who really cares that it's gone?
Mm-hmm.
And so to see, you know, tens of people even is cool to be like, okay, you know, 20, 30, 40, whatever people really dug what we did and remember it,
mm-hmm,
and remember it fondly. And it's cool to see people say nice things about, you know, especially, and I mean, I don't know, I'm an egomaniac at heart, like to see... People say, well, this is something that he did. That's really cool, you know? I mean,
yeah.
There's a few people that have tweeted out and said that I don't get enough credit for my role in St. Louis wrestling. And that's what my entire character since PWCS has been based on.
Yeah.
Is that little part of me that believes that. And so to see people kind of fuel that is really cool. You know, it's I'll never be the one in real life to scream about it because, you know, I don't know, whether it's low self-esteem or whatever, but... you know, I'll never be the one to be like, oh man, I fucking rule St. Louis wrestling. And I did not, clearly, or I would still be in business.
Very
but,
much.
It's cool to see people say that I have a big part in it, or that, you know, because, I mean, geez, you look back on just this slate of shows. I mean, today I saw Curt Stallion talk about, he's signed. You know, he's signed to WWE,
mm-hmm,
and had his last match against ACH. He also had his first match in the St. Louis area against ACH, and it's on one of these shows for us, you know. So it's available online. You can see it. You can see it on there. ACH versus Curt Stallion on the, I think, the Smart Mark video. So, you know, that's super cool to know that we played a small part in that. You know, just little stuff like that. To know, you can kind of go back and see the history and see what we really did as a whole. And we did make a difference, you know. When you go back to that first show, I said it on the first podcast that we did, and, you know, the landscape was very different. There was anarchy up top and a huge gap before number two, and all I ever wanted to do was fill that number two.
Right.
And I think if nothing else, you know, we changed the game. We showed that there could be a number two, and you know, I don't know. I think companies that came along like Glory and stuff, I mean, we upped the game. Like, mm-hmm. to be number one, to beat us, you had to up your game. And then to challenge for number one, you really had to up your game.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So I think we did raise the bar to a certain extent of where there was, of what was acceptable. We raised the bar of acceptable pro wrestling in St. Louis. That will be on my tombstone.
Not excellence, just acceptable.
Yeah, just acceptable pro wrestling.
I mean, it's not even just the consumer aspect of it, of what they are able to watch. He also helped raise a generation perhaps of wrestlers as well. A lot of people who probably wouldn't have been able to show up at an Anarchy, because, you know, there's a lot of bigger names up there too.
That's what a lot of people have pointed out, is that we booked people that maybe didn't, you know, weren't on Anarchy or weren't going to be Anarchy, or ended up becoming on
also
those bigger shows. And that's why, you know, and we'll hopefully cover the last show someday, but I gave that speech about there's got to be places like this. There's got to be, you know, there has to be a number two to the number one. There's mm-hmm. got to be an alternative to everything. Just like there does, you know, AEW exists because WWE is there, and there has to be an alternative. And I think in our bigger markets like this, like, there does need to be alternatives. There do need to be people that do it different ways. That's why I'm glad to see Glory and Anarchy existing at the same time. You know, even as a part of Anarchy now and a employee of Glory, you know, I know that they are direct competition. That's obvious, but it's good to know that there is that competition. That it's not, you know, it used to be a ladder system. There was no competition. It was, you know, there was somebody at the very tippy top and then a huge drop off to number two. And I don't feel like that's a slight, because I feel like it's always been that way. Like, when we started watching, there was GCW, and then there was nothing, you know?
You had to go on the public access, I think, for, like, Dr. X's wrestling or something like that.
And then LWA comes along, and they up that, they up that bar of what's acceptable.
Yeah.
You know? And so then they became
rivals.
Not only the alternative, but then competition, legit competition. But very soon, that wasn't the case, because it didn't take long for when LWA took their rise as when GCW kind of burned out. Mm-hmm. So then you had LWA and no one else. I don't remember anybody, you know, at the time that was. And then Dynamo came along, and I feel like there was competition there for a while. But I feel like once Anarchy took over, it's huge.
They separated like oil and water.
Huge separation. And there was just, there was always this big gap. And I was just like, man, why does there have to be great wrestling and then shit wrestling, you know? And why does it need, it doesn't have to be that way. So if we can all be better. And I think that's, you know, why me and Jackson have always had a good relationship, because we looked at it as, even when we were competition, we are competition against each other. But also, we're just trying to make things better, and if we can both coexist in this world, and not, you know, and be trying to create a better area for wrestlers, for fans, for everybody.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know, that's going off on quite the tangent, but that's, you look back and you say, okay, I accomplished that mission, I accomplished that mission, and you can see it right away that we raised the bar of what was acceptable, and, you know, it just got tougher and tougher for us to even keep kind of continue with our own standards, I think, because of circumstances. But
it became too tough for PWCS to continue to raise up. As the standard kept getting raised, we had to continue to rise up as well.
Well, we raised our own standards.
Yeah.
I think that's a whole separate podcast probably on the demise, but it was always, I was never satisfied.
Right.
You know, you look back now, and I watched Stage 1 on IWTV.live. Use the promo code ANARCHYSTL, I think.
I think it was STL Anarchy.
I'm going to have to start using the PWCS code, Jackson, because I'm not going to remember which way that goes.
It's just a lot easier. Yeah, four letters or two different things.
I don't want to be going against the corporation here, but I those four letters I can remember in my stressed state. but you watch it that and I don't know, you see the production, you see where we at, and you can see as you go along, and you know, we didn't it, it But to my point that I was making, as I watched that and I saw, oh my God, so there was like 125 people at that show or whatever.
Right.
And it looked great, but even that, and we were like, we took that one W and we were like, great, that's the standard now.
It is, yeah.
And we never then were happy with 75, 80. You know, it was like, and then when we, you know, at some point that kind of became the norm. So when, okay, you're like, okay, 75 is the norm, so we got 90, that's awesome. But then 60 was a failure. You know, it's just like, we set the bar a certain place and we were always raising it for ourselves because we wanted to be number one. We wanted to be, you know, we wanted our story to be that of, you know, did I want there to be a huge separation between one and two? No, but if there was going to be, fuck, maybe it's going to be me. It should be.
Why not you?
So especially like when Anarchy went away, we thought, okay, before that, in that hot second there before Glory became a thing, we were like, cool, we're going to be that next top tier indie in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work
out. Time to push it harder, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And so when you didn't achieve that, that's when I started to get discouraged, as opposed to just being happy with what we were.
That's when you just kept reaching up, just kept trying to get it higher, and you just wasn't able to do it.
But that's another reason that I consider getting on IWTV an achievement, is because one of those things that I think was a discouraging or like a goal that we set for ourselves was we wanted to be on IWTV live.
Right.
We were like, well, that's why not us? You know, why the other people in the area, but not us. We're using the same guys.
Why are they going into Spalding Hall every 2 months when they know that the same people, or relatively the same wrestlers and same atmosphere, is coming there every month?
Yeah.
Like, why not? Why can't they come back every month?
And we talk about the visual aspect of it, the production aspect of it. It became so hard for us to sustain that. Jason eventually had to give up the shows, and you took the ball and ran with it, and that was something, you know, that was basically thrust upon you with no training or warning. Just like, learn how to video edit and edit these shows.
Literally.
And you made them look great, especially considering the circumstances.
Well, thank you.
You know, but they weren't, even Jason, when he had to give it up, wasn't producing them the same way.
He produced them at the beginning. That
first season and probably second season, where it wasn't at even his standard. And it's just because, and we were talking 2014, Jason's not married. You know, I wasn't even married until stage three.
Right.
You know, we didn't have the jobs that we have now, the extra stresses in life. You know, as those started to pile up, there was less and less time to sit at your computer for 4, 5, 6 hours and edit these shows, you know. And I think we all went through that one way or another. You know, when you took it on, I'm sure it was very enthusiastic. It was with a lot of enthusiasm.
Very enthusiastic at the beginning. But then as it just built.
Six on-demand shows a month, if we're lucky.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, then I'd print 5 DVDs and I'd watch 3 of them go, and then I'd be like, well, what about the other 2? I wanted to print more DVDs.
Yeah.
Much to the same as the attendance thing. You'd set a bar and you'd keep wanting to get higher. I'd set 5 DVDs and if I didn't sell all 5 of them, a failure.
Yep.
It's like, what's going on here?
My therapist tells me that's black and white thinking and it is unhealthy.
Today I learned.
Those are things I've learned about myself since I've no longer been a professional wrestling promoter. And I've just been a professional stressed person for the past year. but yeah, I mean, so, and I don't know, I think we went off the rails a little bit, but the original thing we were going to get with is, you know, I think had we gotten on IWTV.live when we wanted to, and when we felt that we should, I don't know that it would have saved the company, but it definitely would have
reinvigorated everything.
Yeah, I think, exactly. It would have given you a reason to edit the shows. Because I don't even think we were asking for live streams. I think we just wanted to be able to put the content on there.
Yes.
You know, because we even got like, okay, if we're not bringing in a big name or something like that, maybe we're not going to pop a bunch of live streams, but, you know, we at least load the shows up there, because I think that it very quickly became the way people discover wrestling.
You know,
when we first started, if you go all the way back to when we first started, the way you discovered wrestling was probably YouTube, which is why we wanted to have such a strong YouTube presence.
Yes.
And we made the shows that we made. What was it? Oh, man, I don't remember. It's been so long since we've done one.
Oh, the Series Insider?
Series Insider.
Oh, man, and what good stuff that was.
Yeah, so Jason like produced those early Series Insiders, and again, that's something that he threw his heart and soul into and saw good feedback.
Yeah.
So when the feedback started, because originally he gave up the shows so he could focus on the YouTube. But YouTube just, I think it's still a way you can discover wrestling, but it's, I don't think it's the way anymore.
For sure.
I think it became GIFs and streaming. Mm-hmm. You know, you own one of these streaming services. When you pop on, whatever's on, you're going to watch. You know, like you said, sort by new, or hey, there's a new live stream on tonight. Whatever, you know, we're going to watch whatever's in front of our face because it's right there. I didn't have to search for it anymore.
Indeed.
I just watch whatever's in front of my face. Versus when we started, it was YouTube. So I felt like we had a good, and that really did drive us. I mean, we had a pretty decent YouTube presence. I think, again, you look at the competition, even at that time, Anarchy really didn't have any YouTube presence. Dynamo didn't really have any YouTube presence. I mean, we were the first one in the area to really, like, we're going to make this a focus, you know? And that goes all the way back to when me and Jason would swap ideas, and then we'd eventually shoot each other down and go, that's not realistic about running a promotion. Uh-huh. One of them I thought of was, like, a social media-centric promotion called Hashtag Pro Wrestling. And it would be about having a social media presence and content online and, like, put that idea just never fleshed out.
That's unfortunate because that's very forward-thinking of you.
It's a dope name, too.
It's not bad.
Much better than the name we settled on.
The Series Insider?
No, on PWCS. I think Hashtag Pro Wrestling probably better than PWCS.
Oh, as an entire name for the group?
Yeah, that was the name of the group at one point that I pitched.
Oh.
Like, way before it was a reality.
You're
gonna find that shit on YouTube.
Hashtag Pro Wrestling.
You're gonna find that shit on Twitter.
You do a good job of getting gorilla clicks.
Yeah, exactly.
You take something off of other people whenever they're just tweeting out random stuff, and they tweet hashtag Pro Wrestling. You're like, thank you. Yeah, I'll take that.
That was the idea. That was the businessman in me.
Gorilla marketing. I love it.
But but very quickly streaming started to become the way people consume this stuff. Even before what at the time was Powerbomb came out, and even before Fight tried it, I felt like it started to be like you would get Pivot Share, I think, was the website.
Yes,
everybody kind of had their own thing. And so then you'd pay $10 a month to watch that shit online.
Yeah, and pay $10 a month to watch one promotion stuff, basically.
Yeah, and I think early on we considered a Pivot Share. But we were selling okay DVDs. I mean, we'd print 10, 15 copies of the previous show, and they were all going.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people were talking about the production and stuff. So, at first, it was like, okay, well, we could do this and get pennies on the dollar of what we're getting for the DVD. Because the DVDs did not cost a lot to produce. Like, to even just buy a ring of DVDs.
Oh, yeah, then, yeah.
You know, it was all time. It wasn't money.
Yeah, DVD as a medium is super cheap. It was more the production of the the production of the event itself would be the cost of the printing a DVD afterwards, thoughtless. You didn't even have to care. It was just like 20 minutes per DVD.
So we'd walk in, say we walk into stage two. I remember, you know, we printed, I think, 10 copies of stage one in 2014. Went into the second ever show. We only drew like 65 people at the second show, which was literally half the crowd of the first one. But we sold out of those DVDs, and that helped us make money that night. Because that's $10, you know, at 10 or 15, that's $100, $150 they didn't have from the door.
Very true.
Versus if you go to Pivot Share, they were giving you like $1 or $2 or something on every $10 subscription. Uh-huh. And we didn't have the content at the time to make that work.
Especially, yeah.
You know, as we were building in that early. And I don't really remember when the actual streaming services started to become a thing. But I know the timeline of it is that Fight is the first one that we interacted with.
Yeah.
Because we actually got reached out to by Fight. And I remember talking with Jason and being like, is this fucking real? And we got like an email from just, you know, some random thing. And it was like, oh, yeah, we're, you know. And I thought, I was maybe confusing it with, I don't think it's associated with the Fight Network.
Uh-huh.
Like that Impact was on, or like I think it's overseas, you know, it was like a big deal. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I honestly didn't learn enough about this company we became semi-involved with. but I just remember being like hem-hawing with Jason about whether or not we were going to even reply to the email to Fight, what became Fight. And we said, all right, well, whatever, we'll look into it. You know, because you could kind of see that's where things were going.
Right.
and we had a bunch of content on YouTube. So when I reached out to the guy, they were like, yeah, we'll port all of your YouTube content onto this Fight app. And then, you know, if people watch it on their phone, it's this much per hour. If people watch it on their TVs, it's this much per hour. And the guy ended up asking, like, CEO of Fight asked to phone conference with me. And I talked to this motherfucker on the phone.
Really?
Still the same guy, because I see the name at the end of the emails. But, that Michael Patelis, I think.
Okay.
And I just remember, you know, talking over things over with Jason. And I asked this guy a million dumb fucking questions like I was a real business person. Like, you know, talking about shares and, like, how much money you get and all this kind of, you know, and, like, and Jason and I, big concern whenever we would talk about our footage was, are we signing the rights to this away?
Right.
You know, so like eventually I talked to this Michael guy on the phone for quite some time and he's like, no, you're not giving away the rights to your footage, or, you know, you can still do whatever you want with it, but it just gets loaded onto here and, you know, if people watch it, stream it, then you'll make money on it, but you gotta make a certain amount in a month to pay out.
Uh-huh.
And so we were like, well, that sounds great, you know? And so we started promoting for a hot second the fuck out of that Fight app on the social media. And I remember, like, Jason Klein picking up and watching it on there and stuff. But we never really quite figured out with them, like, how to get shows on there.
Yeah.
You know, we never, like, and then I think at the time, still, we're like, we're making some money on DVDs. We go load it on here for free.
Yeah.
And then we're not going to, because I don't think at the time it is like it is now, where you had the option to do, like, an on-demand live stream or pay $10 to watch this whole show. I think it was all based off of the streaming model.
Uh-huh.
And it was all free. And so, you know, I remember we talk about him and we say, okay, we'll port everything over. We'll see how that goes. And then we get a contract, and it's like a 3-page contract. And me and Jason had a debate about whether or not we should take it to a lawyer, I remember. I don't remember who was on what side. But uh-huh. We were like, should we have a lawyer look at this fucking thing? As if we could not read a 3-page contract.
Well,
but we were just so paranoid about something, about, you know, selling the business. Like,
yeah, you were paranoid, you know, about losing access basically to everything that you had already done.
Yeah.
Reasonable. I think that's very reasonable.
Yeah, so we were super paranoid about it. We eventually were like, okay, we signed the contract. I, you know, faxed it over to this guy. We felt like big shot for a couple seconds. We're like, we just signed a fucking distribution deal.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, PWCS. This will never die. And then nothing came of the Fight app at the time.
Uh-huh.
Like, obviously, later on down the line, now you're viewing pay-per-views through it, and, you know, it became what it is now, but it was a much slower go. And so, cut to our first interaction with Powerbomb, which became IWTV.live.
Yeah.
It was almost back-to-back. You know, it was pretty quick. So, you know, we've had the experience of maybe a couple of months of streaming on here with no views and nothing coming of it. You know, we get this email at the end of the month that says fucking 5 people streamed your YouTube show on Fight.
Wow.
So we get the email from Powerbomb. And, it, you know, they're same thing, reaching out, hey, we would like, you know, both of those companies reached out to us because they were starving for startup content.
Right.
How the fuck they ever found out about us, I have no idea. But
I don't, yeah.
I can only assume because maybe at that point we had booked, like, Colt and Jimmy, you know, maybe we had booked some indie people, and that's how they found us.
Oh, so probably into season 2 then, I imagine.
Yeah, I think this was end of season 2, because we obviously had to have enough content to even put on there, so.
Right.
And so we get that email, and this is, you know, probably the worst decision in the history of company, or at least it's top 5 worst decisions in the history of company.
Oh, yeah.
We look at it and go, this is just another Fight thing. Like, fuck this thing. Like, you know, and we just dismissed it. I don't even know if we said no or if we heard him out. Mm-hmm. We just kind of thought, okay, this is going to be another thing that we load our free content onto and get nothing out of, or worse, we load our shows onto and get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't. Yeah, so that's an error. Of obviously, we saw the way it was going with streaming, but not enough to realize that one of these platforms would win out.
Right. You know? Yeah.
And I think we felt like if this big, because Fight felt like it had a lot of money behind it. like, I mean, I talked to some CEO guy on the phone, and they had, like, a whole thing. You know, it just seemed like this professional outfit.
To be fair, I'm sure the guy thought that he was talking to the CEO of PWCS Incorporated
that
as well.
That poor motherfucker wasting his time with my dumb ass. But, I mean, it seemed like it was a... it obviously is, because they're doing, like... That's how you... I think that's how you watch your AEW pay-per-views and shit now, is through the Fight app. Like,
that's one of them, yeah.
That's one of the ways you do it. So, I mean, obviously they had the money behind them, and I think they were associated with the Fight Network. So I think in our thought was, like, if these guys can't do it, how is this Powerbomb thing going to last? Like,
right.
You know, and there was no one really associated with it yet. I don't think we knew the names behind it, you know, that they had been associated with things like Smart Mark and I think...
I don't think they were associated with Smart Mark when it first happened.
They weren't yet, but I think one of the main guys from Power that started the whole deal...
Oh, was the guy
he
who
was an
had
offshoot.
Found it.
Yeah, I think he had helped with Smart Mark and then they had a split, so he was like, start this. But that's neither here nor there. I don't super know that. That's allegedly.
Allegedly, yes.
But, so we just dismissed it, and then very quickly realized, uh-oh.
This was a bad call.
That might not have been the greatest call, because Powerbomb kind of takes off pretty quick. And there was another thing that was launching at that time, that Flow Wrestle.
Okay, I don't know of that one.
That was, or Flow Ring or something. There was Flow Sports. And they...
The only Flow I know tries to sell me insurance, so I don't know anything about this Flow Wrestling.
This was another alternative, and we had seen it fail in between the time that we had signed on with Fight and
before
when Powerbomb became a thing.
Yeah.
So in between there, we had seen this thing start up and fail, and its main partner was, I think, Evolve or Dragon Gate or something.
Oh, well, that's a big
so,
one.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, so this company has a bunch of money, it started up, it failed. Flow Wrestling started up, it had a bunch of money behind it. It had all these other... Because there was other successful arms. It was like Flow Soccer, and then you could watch some amount of soccer matches on there or whatever. It was like it had success with other sports.
Sure.
And so it was supposed to be that version, but for pro wrestling. And then so you attach that to whatever it was, Dragon Gate, Evolve, both. I don't really remember. And then it tanks quick, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like as that stuff's going on, and maybe my timeline's off, but I'm pretty sure all that happens, and then we get the Powerbomb email, and it's like, it's going to be another one of these things that pops up and goes away. I'm not going to get excited about it, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of got, kind of like I talked about on the NWL episode of this podcast, where it's like I had to go and see the first show to believe it was going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a wrestler, you just sort of get jaded to all these things that are supposed to happen to be great.
Yeah.
Be big, and it's just like, okay, cool, it's another one of those, you know?
Yeah, people try to start up stuff all the time, but it's a very minute amount of people who can actually make something successful.
Exactly, and that was a good enough platform, they got enough good content on it, that it started to get some subscriptions, and it started to get the ball rolling. And I think that was probably about the same time that Jason was starting to feel like he couldn't continue to do the content anymore.
Right.
And our DVD sales start to decline and so then we realize, oh fuck, we should try to, and I think we sent emails to to Powerbomb, but it was almost too late. Like at that point they weren't starved for content anymore, and they were starting to get some stuff of some,
they were getting offers, they weren't trying to offer to people.
Exactly.
Everyone was coming to them as opposed to them coming to them.
And that was our thought with the Fight app, was we thought, okay, this is gonna be a big deal. It's just like we just picked HD DVD instead of Blu-ray is what happened, because
basically,
we thought this is the one, like this thing's gonna be really cool, it's got a bunch of money behind it, we're gonna get in on the ground floor, and then someday it's gonna be a big hairy deal and we'll be the lowest viewed thing on it, but that might still be a couple thousand people, you
could.
Never know.
Yeah.
And that was it just didn't work out that way at the time, you know. It just was a slower build for Fight, I guess, to get to where they are now. And even then, I mean, I don't know what their popularity is streaming-wise. You know, I think it's the big live events. It's like a pay-per-view medium now, more so than a subscription service.
Yeah, I think so.
So it just didn't work out to be the same thing.
Yeah, so even still, if we would have hung around on Fight and, you know, continued to, like, even if we would have lasted along to the point where they'd had live streams of Fight TV, would it have really made a difference for us?
Yeah, because I think when they started doing their live streams as pay-per-views, it was like TNA. It was like Impact, And then, you know, it was big stuff. And yeah. even now, it's big. It's always bigger. Come AIW, Game Changer, those kind of stuff go on there. They're not, you know, looking for the way they were starved for content at one time.
Right. So but even still, like, are they, like, cross-promoting all of their stuff as well? Like, I order an AEW pay-per-view, I don't see, why don't you check out GCW for exactly. a change as well, you know?
Yeah, yeah, so it would not be the same sort of a deal. Like, I don't think you would have gotten the bump from it.
Yeah,
so.
Because that's arguably the big thing about IWTV for us, is that there are hundreds of other places on there you could go for one, but at the same time, they'll be on the side, be like, oh, hey, we just uploaded PWCS, you know, maybe you should check this out. So exactly. there's a potential for clicks.
So it was a different medium that we didn't see. We thought it was all going to be kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so we didn't really understand this is going to be like Netflix for wrestling. You know, basically, we just thought it's going to be another one of these fly-by-night streaming things.
We just thought it was going to be another YouTube that we just didn't have any sort of footing in,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah. And so, you know, but then you start to scramble, and like you said, they were in the position of power then, so I don't blame them for not answering the email that we sent back probably 6 months late or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think them talking to Smart Mark and Game Changer Wrestling was probably a better call for them.
And that's when we found Smart Mark Video, and because we had seen that other companies were getting their stuff uploaded to there, and we thought, okay, maybe that is how we can get a digital platform out. And that worked for a little bit. I mean, again, though, it wasn't people stumbling upon us and finding it. It was usually a fan that comes to the shows, maybe telling a friend, and they buy it. Or a fan wanted to have it, you know, and watch it, but wasn't going to buy a physical DVD.
We'd
get a very
stuff.
Minute amount of footage. You know, and then eventually it got down to, like, people who wanted to watch their matches, and I didn't give them their footage enough. So shout out to Shire for sending me $9 multiple times so that he could put together highlight reels because I'm too lazy to...
I'm sorry I didn't cut out your stuff, Tom.
I probably never asked him to do it. I'll take the L.
I would have done it for you, Shire. But, I love you, buddy.
I'll make another joke, but that'll be an off-mic joke
okay.
about where our biggest payout ever came from.
Oh, yeah.
DM me for that. but so then it does get to a point where I thought we would get some traction because I start doing what now live streams are a bigger thing for Powerbomb. Powerbomb becomes IWTV, and I start doing... I'm basically calling any local live stream show. I called a couple of Anarchy shows. I was calling every Glory show. And so then I really kind of had some hope because I felt like I'd developed a really good rapport with Paul, the guy that came and did those live streams. And he was kind of in my corner. So I was like really pushing to get us on. And again, it just kind of, you know, maybe we were, maybe it just wasn't the right time or whatever. I just felt like it was always bad timing. I remember there was one show that I really thought we would get it, and when we didn't, I was super demoralized, was we had a double shot where, like, we were Friday night and Girls Night Out was Saturday or the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
The Anarchy's, or Anarchy Ladies Night, whatever the name of that show was.
Sure.
And it was a double shot where they were Friday and we were Saturday or the other way around, and I just pitched so much. I was like, guys, you don't even have to move the equipment. You
yeah.
could stay, and I... You know, I have two theories. One was that they just didn't view us as big enough, even though we, you know, had a lot of the same guys. And I think the reason we weren't viewed as big enough, it was chicken or the egg thing. Is, you know, when everybody else is on IWTV and you can't get on it, then automatically you look lesser than.
Sure.
So, you know, were we not on IWTV because we were not as popular, or were we not as popular because we weren't on IWTV? The world may never know.
Yeah.
Much like all them licks to the center of a Tootsie Bowl pop.
Indeed. Crunch indeed.
But, you know, there was that, so we pushed and we pushed and we pushed, and it didn't happen, and I was like, okay, if this didn't happen, it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know?
I do remember also there was the other time where we were really trying to push to get stuff all together. But that was around the same time that they were starting to run the collective and stuff. They were worrying
yeah.
about what they're going to do Mania weekend.
Yeah, that was...
And then, you know, that one came around. That one came, it went. And then we were like, okay, well, can we get on now? But then they started to do their little indie... Their indie showcase thing they put up in Chicago that mm-hmm. one time. The indie spotlight. And that was like, okay, well, we're pushed to the back. you know, they're not accepting new people basically at this time because they're doing their own stuff. I'm like, okay, well, we'll have to wait it out.
And I know we had a big name on the show. I want to say I was pushing for it around the Gangrel show, so that would have been real late.
Really, yeah.
Because it would, I kind of felt like, okay, we have a, you know, you always say you don't want big names. We have this name, like, you know, and it still was just, it was falling on flat ears. The other theory that I'll take, and I, you know, if somebody behind the scenes wants to refute this or say it's true or whatever, I don't know, you know, but I know at one point I did not exactly make, despite me being the self-appointed voice of IWTV.live, I did make an in-character comment that did not rub one of the main guys at IWTV very well.
Oh, I think I remember that.
I was on a live stream for Anarchy, and I was in character, and I was rolling, and I was just, you know...
You were cooking.
Just out there feeling it. And yeah, like Strider says, when you're cooking, you cook.
You're cooking, you cook.
And I made some sort of... I made a backhanded comment about how I was better than Dave Prazak.
Yeah.
And I remember immediately on the chat, you know, the guy on the other side of the chat from Paul. Paul thought it was funny. The guy on the other side was like, he should just shut up and call the match. And I was like... Ah, fuck. Like, so I don't know if there was a grudge over that or if that
shot yourself in the foot.
Then. I'm just the type of guy who I will think of something like that over and over, like, and go, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. So I don't know. I mean, he may have literally forgotten I said that 20 seconds later and never been angry about it. Mm-hmm. But there's also very, in my head, there's a strong possibility they were like, oh, fuck that dude. He sucks. Like,
yeah.
You know, because I'm quick to judge too, so I would not blame somebody for that. But. You know, it was a heat of the moment thing performing, you know, and as much as I was, the color commentator that night, I knew I was still a character on the show. So I was trying to play that up
right.
During that particular match. And that's just how it happens. I never meant, you know, to have any controversy or anything. I think I'm one of the least controversial characters in history of pro wrestling, but, you know, that may have had something to do with it too, but it just felt like for whatever reason the connection just never got made. And so I do think, you know, I don't know, if you made me list five reasons we're not in business anymore, it wouldn't be number one, but would it be on the list? I think so.
Absolutely.
I think it would have, like you said, at least would have given us a win when we needed a win. Regardless of how much money it would have brought in or new fans or whatever, I think we just were feeling so beaten down by the lower crowds. I mean, I could only speak for Jason and myself, but it just felt like we were putting in 150% and still getting, you know, lower crowds than the other people in town, lower exposure than the other people in town. And you looked at that as just one more loss, you know. It was like, fuck, we can't do this. We can't get on it. I even remember specifically an email from Jason when we finally, like, I always was the one pushing to quit, but when Jason finally said, I think I need to hang it up, part of that in there was like, clearly we're not getting on IWTV, because I've read that email before, later on, you know, like, went back and found it, looking for different things. Heck, I reread it looking for the posters for each individual show for them to load onto IWTV to send to Dylan.
Rough.
And that was one of the things on there, was like, man, you know, I'm not getting as much out of this creatively anymore. I don't feel like I'm as much as part of it anymore. We're not getting on IWTV. You know, so it was even in his reasons for, like, I think I just need to bow out. And so it just became a very demoralizing thing, but...
And I will, to hammer that a little bit home, that was honestly one of the reasons why I eventually stopped producing the shows. Because we had tried so long, and it took up so much, a substantial portion of my time. As I'm, you know, trying to run a midnight's job, I barely have any time during the day, and I'm spending it all hammering out these wrestling matches and everything, producing commentary and everything. And for like a year and a half, I'm like, yeah, IWTV's like, they're out with Anarchy. They're going to be with us soon. And it's like, now I'm going to be on IWTV, and, you know, then everybody can hear, and... I don't know, maybe this will sprout into something, and it just kept on never happening, so yeah. It was definitely one of the reasons for me, too.
Yeah, so I completely understand. I never faulted anyone for getting burnt out on that process.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
just something I simply was not able to do. I remember I tried to edit that, there was one show I tried to edit after you were starting to, like, show the you know, that you didn't have much tread on your tires left as far as editing shows.
And I tried, and I downloaded some shitty video editing program, and I was terrible at it. I produced one whole match. Of course, it was mine because I'm a piece of shit. And every time I would try to render it, it would come out with no sound, and I was just like, well, this is clearly time for me to give up on being a video editor.
Quick side, took me about 3 months to figure it out.
Really?
If you remember me bringing over a DVD with this really terrible look. It had a real terrible low quality about it. I do kind of
remember, yeah.
Yeah. It roughly took me about 3 months of looking stuff up and trying to figure out how to teach myself how to video edit. So fully understand that you weren't going to be able to put that effort in. Especially with the job you had going at that time, running into your new job.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it got to be too much and and at that point then there was just no one capable of doing it. I would have had to have paid somebody to do it. I didn't have the money to do that. So there was no time, no money, and you're not producing the video then. All that being said though, that's even the better reason that we're on now, is because now there's going to be footage that I know that you and Jason are a little bit more jazzed up about getting out there. So I'm going to get that on a hard drive so that you can work on it at your leisure, of course. Dylan is slow rolling this out, so we've got time to get to it. But
God, realistically, I'm going to speak honestly, I cannot wait to get that last show.
Yeah.
That was such a good show. I've wanted to rewatch it for so long, but I realized I never got it before Jason left town with all the SD cards. And I was like, crap, I just really want to watch that show again.
Yeah. Yeah, I never got to go back and relive that.
Yeah.
It's such an important thing to me to be able to close it out on my own terms and not just never run a show. That was always the fear. Was like, I remember Kennedy talking to me at one point and being like, you know, you don't want to wake up one day and just fucking hate this. You know, he's like, so you might as well go out on your own terms when you decide it's time, you know?
Yeah.
And that made a lot of sense. So, I would love to watch that show back, and because I think it's a lot of, like, it's a good time capsule of what we do. And so, I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see the KC Gangrel match I've never watched all the way through.
Yeah.
Especially produced. Like, I'm really... This is something we've not talked about, but I've already decided I'm doing it, so tough shit. I would be excited to call those shows with you. That was something I always wanted
to bring it in?
Okay. I always wanted to call a show with you because I thought you were really good and underrated, and you were so good at... you did it all in post...
Yeah.
But you had the enthusiasm as if it was live, and that's something that a lot of people cannot do.
Thank you. That means a lot.
I've always wanted to call a show with you. I think that'd be a cool full circle thing, considering us being friends for so long, and I think it needs to happen. So I would like to call those shows that we'll post on IWTV with you.
I'd love to. That'd be great.
So I'm excited to see that stuff see the light of day, and who knows? I mean. I think you never say never kind of a thing, as far as I don't want to, it's not a cryptic, like we're coming back tomorrow or anything, but I mean, my currency is love. So if there's a lot of positive motion out there and everybody's like loving the product and stuff like that, I mean, it's a never say never, especially in the world that we're living in today of the coronavirus and so much crazy shit going on. I mean, another big reason we closed was the landscape. I mean, we just don't know what the pro wrestling landscape is going to look like in a year or 2 years right now. I mean, things are so up in the air.
We don't know what the pro wrestling landscape looks like next month.
Exactly.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. So
there's supposed to be anarchy shows. I don't know if those are happening. This is all weird, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely don't say, like, oh, we'll never run a PWCS show again. I think it would be different, and there would be different expectations and whatnot, and I would never want to end my partnership with Anarchy. We're doing great things there, and I feel good being a part of that. So much of the PWCS idea was baked into what we were going to do before things shut down, and then they had to go with the tournament idea. But it's just different. It's different being a voice doing that, putting the input, versus being the backing behind the whole thing. And so we needed a break. We needed to go away, But so this is a cool little return to it. It's cool to talk about it again. Like, I couldn't have talked about this like this a year ago. I was too upset about it closing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even to go and do the Submission Squad had me on their podcast to like do a close of PWCS topic, and it was hard to get through. And I don't think I really put the proper emotions into it because it was so fresh, you know. So I'm interested to do the last show podcast with you and really break it down now that there's time.
Even doing this podcast, man, we honestly haven't sat. We sat down, I think, once. Since the closure to do one show.
Yeah.
And that was only because everything had been shut down for so long, there was no wrestling outlet. Yeah. And you were just like, you need something. So we were like, fuck it, let's do the podcast.
Yeah, we watched the show, we never actually recorded the episode.
Yeah.
So we've got notes out there. We'll probably have to rewatch the damn thing, hopefully, on IWTV.live with promo code PWCS. I'm sorry, Jackson.
Well, realistically, we'll probably need to watch it through something else because I prefer we not wait.
That is true.
Another another month or so, however long he's going to plan before releasing season three, you know.
Yeah.
We're up in season four, I think, in terms of our podcast timeline.
But yeah, so I mean, you know, if nothing else, it's a return to the podcast. It's a return to, you know, just being able to talk about it and be able to get it out there and celebrate it without it having to be this, like, dark thing that depresses me and is closed.
Yeah.
You know, so, and there's a lot of people, like, you know, Kennedy saying such good things online. There's been a couple times that people have reached out to me, like, Klein has said really good stuff. Carrie has messaged me privately a couple times and been like, you know, it's so cool to see that you did that. Like, mm-hmm. That, you know, that's something you wanted to do and you accomplished it, like, and you should never let that, you know, things like that mean so much to me and really, like, keep me going in wrestling when it's, you know, when it feels like, oh man, it's all going wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I don't mean to impress my feelings of it onto you, but I honestly feel like you were able to live your dream for 4 years out of your life.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of people that can say that.
So there's a very small amount of people who can say that.
So if we never produce another show, I at least now can say, you know, you can load the same thing, like, you know, with it being dormant, you can't even go like, this is what I did. This is, you know, this is the cool thing that I did, and have people discover it or see it or show it to somebody. Like Kennedy said the other day, like when this all kind of started, the positive motion for getting on IWTV, he was like, you know, I don't have anything I can show my son of when I wrestled. He's like, because I consider PWCS like the best of my work.
He didn't have a DVD.
I mean, he maybe has one or two, but he was like, I don't really have anything. He's like, I'm sick of Googling my matches with Sean Vincent to show my son.
Oh shit, man.
So
we need to mail that guy a DVD. Yeah. God damn, man.
So I mean, it's cool to just to be able to have it out there to celebrate and be able. And it's, I think it's easier to have that mindset and go, oh yeah, this, we did this awesome thing, when you can, it's out there to view, you know,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like it's a DVD on my shelf and that's the only, you know, that's the only thing of it. So and a huge, I can't end the episode without giving a huge shout out to Jason Klein, Jay Rose, and Dylan Hales. It was a series of tweets that ended up with us actually being on IWTV. Was Klein put out just an innocuous tweet about like the things he likes in wrestling or something like that, and it was like, I like it to be presented as a sport, and I like it to have cohesive storylines that last a long time, and you know, something else. And I said, man, other than that time I promoted a dolphin as a sentient being, I'm really driving right at your fucking wheelhouse, aren't I? And he said nice things about it. Jay Rose replied back and said, oh my god, please put it on IWTV. So I privately messaged him and said, man, only thing holding that up is you guys.
The only thing holding that up is IWTV.
Tell me who I need to talk to.
Has been 4 years.
With IWTV. And, because he works, he's one of their like affiliate people, and he works hard on, I found out that he does like a lot of their graphics, and he's one of the employees. And I was like, tell me who I need to talk to. And like a little bit later, he was like, dude, Dylan Hales will be messaging you in a little bit. And I mean, that was maybe 2 weeks ago, and Dylan's got two whole seasons up now already. So,
hell yeah.
It was cool to see people I respect like clamoring of, you know, because I respect Dylan, I respect J Rose, like they're awesome
dudes,
they're awesome personalities, and they're great at what they do, and they're good for the pro wrestling world. And so for them to be like, oh, we really wanted to have this footage out there, is cool. You know, again, it's another one of those notches that makes you go, okay, cool. Like, some people respect what I did. Like,
yeah, it's also really cool that, you know, you expect, like, me to want to champion your stuff. Because I'm one of your best, you know, I'm one of your best friends, you know. Patrick champions the stuff, you know. Everyone in your inner circle, of course we're going to be some of your greatest supporters. But whenever there's somebody else completely on the outside that you arguably have had minimal contact with, right?
I've met Dylan Hales once. We did a podcast, which is what I don't know I've ever met J-Rose.
Yeah. So to
maybe
see,
in passing.
Like, so to have people like that that you've barely had contact with who just champion your stuff so hard is so humbling.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And so it's cool to see it out there. I hope everybody, either seasons one and two are up there. It is missing the wild card show because that's one of maybe two shows that doesn't exist.
The missing show.
Yeah, yes. So I would definitely suggest people watch them in order. If you've discovered this podcast, then you probably know that already. But if by some stroke of luck you have found this podcast before you have found it online, I would definitely suggest watching them in order. And I would definitely suggest checking out the YouTube stuff that goes along with it. You know, you can watch stage one and then go watch like the reacts and the stuff that we did in between one and
the
two.
The series insider.
Yeah, I mean, so I would, the more of that stuff that you watch, the more of the story you'll get. But I do think it can be viewed almost episodically. Like, you watch each one and it builds, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Especially that, it's sort of the perfect launch point because, as we talked about off mic, it does lead you to the end of one big story. But the series of shows that are out there is like 2 years of build. It's 2 years of building up Kennedy, 2 years of building up the Besties and Submission Squad feud, 2 years of what became introducing the Casey Carrington character into the mix, and like all
Chaos
that stuff
Nation.
Was planned out.
Yeah.
You know, the pieces moved, and that's so. I hope that people listen to this podcast, go check it out on IWTV. And then I hope we started in reverse. Go back to the archive of the podcast. If you've never watched those early shows, and watch the show and then go listen to the podcast about it. Because I mean, there's so much stuff that we can't get into on this episode that we break down each and every show. That's what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked before about when we get done with this, like talking about some different topics, whether it's wrestling, you know, just pop culture wrestling in general, or my experience. I would love to do a show on pre-PWCS, because we've done PWCS and everything after it, but we've never really done... I would like to do a show like on my training and...
Your prior Anarchy experience and stuff like that.
To that moment. Because there's a lot of fun stuff in there. So I think there's cool podcasts out there. I don't want to commit to a timeline or anything because the world is on fire.
Yeah.
Who knows? But
you're not currently promoting a product other than your stuff on IWTV. So we'll take it as a we can do it whenever we can. You know.
Yeah, I would love to do it maybe every other week or something like that to get some sort of consistency.
But you're not going to commit to a timeline.
Yeah, I will not commit.
We have lives, and like everyone else, they're a little on fire right
yes,
now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Quite literally. I fired somebody right before we came to this podcast. That's why I was late getting over here.
Oh, wow.
I had
okay.
to go fire somebody at work.
Okay.
So that's my life now. Yeah. I no longer worry about firing Ace Hawkins. I have to fire real people at a real job now. But yeah, so there'll be more. There'll be more video content. There'll be more audio content. And if nothing else, it'll be fun to kind of put a piece of closure on the whole thing. When we finally get all the video out there, we've talked about every show, I feel like that'll be kind of a sigh of relief. So
it'll
like,
be one good bow on
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, we'll have everything tied up.
Oh,
so,
man.
I look forward to that day.
And judge it at the same time, slightly.
Yeah.
Because then it'll be over.
That'll force us to just make more content somehow.
Indeed.
Question mark? It's been so long, I don't know how to stop this from recording.
I hope you keep that.
All right, guys, that's going to do it. That's going to be the first episode in a long time in the can. So make sure you're checking out for new releases at my Twitter, at HeelMoneyJovi, at the PWCS Wrestling Twitter, at PWCS Wrestling. And we'll keep cranking these things out, man. We're at least going to see through all the episodes, all the shows. I'm excited to do that. We do have some other stuff that Dan and I have talked about. So we'll make sure we pepper in some fun stuff along the way. But for the most part, man, just keep hitting. That's the new thing. That's the new thing to plug. Hit IWTV.live and watch all the PWCS wrestling content that's on there. It would mean a whole lot to me to see huge numbers this month. It means that they need to rush out more content. It means that we need to rush on getting those shows that are unreleased, edited, and ready to roll out. So I'm excited, guys. It's cool to see this project back out there again for maybe some new eyes or even the old eyes that used to come and show just to hear your rejuvenated enthusiasm. It keeps me going. It makes lets me know I did something cool. And if nothing else, that means a lot to me. So thanks so much for listening, guys. I'll talk to you again next time.